It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up.
You ever seen Wayne's World?
Always. I have. It's been a long time.
Five, what? Four, three. That's the thing they do. Anyway.
There we go. Well, always good to start off a show with some technical difficulties. No, actually, a behind-the-scenes thing that I can let the folks know who are going to eventually listen to this in podcast form is I was trying to pull up my Adobe Audition so that I could get a better version of my audio from this and did a little too last minute there and got classic Joe Patrick over there giving me the finger guns as we get started on a successful Monday, Joe Patrick, as we come on July 26th.
Braves love the seven-inning games. Love the seven-inning games when you win them.
But as we now know from Commissioner Rob Manfred, this is not something that is expected to stick around. As Manfred has said that the seven innings games are not a part of Major League Baseball's future because, of course, they love to ruin things. But, you know, 2.5 hour game, Braves get the win against the Mets as they'll finish out their doubleheader. The first pitch is set for like 8:10 tonight.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, they should have like, I think, 40 minutes between the games or something like that. They'll probably just try to start it. Yeah.
But
got to give a hand to our boy Kyle Muller here.
Right?
What a start he's had to his career here. You know, not just tonight, but all these starts that he's had since he's come up have been tremendous. But, you know, what a lift he's been.
Yeah. So Kyle Muller tonight, like we say, goes five innings only. Five innings.
Yeah.
Really probably could have gone another or just finished out the game. Who knows?
Doubleheader. Why not just use a couple bullpen arms for the hell? Yeah, we don't, heck of it. It's fun. Just fun.
Braves don't need those. Braves don't need there. Bullpen arms. Yeah, no. So Kyle goes five innings, does not give up a run, obviously, and strikes out only three, but looked really solid after those first two batters that he just like could not throw a strike. Mm-hmm. And really gets things going. There's something that the Braves broadcast talked about in this game. It's something that I feel like I probably overemphasize when it comes to young starting pitchers for this Atlanta team. There's just something about something so exciting about having a young starting pitcher who's confident when he comes up to the mound. We saw this with Ian Anderson. Look, Ian Anderson has not been perfect. He's had plenty of issues. But when he goes out for his starts, he's confident when he gets up there. And it just makes you, as a fan, as someone who's watching the game, it makes you feel better. And honestly, you're probably more likely to inflate the good qualities of whatever he's doing just because it's like, well, he looks like he's doing the right thing rather than we tend to, you know, there's been a couple of young guys to come up who, when they step on that rubber, it is just a very afraid, scared face. So it's nice to not only have Kyle look confident, but pitch confidently and get the Braves a win at a point that I had given up on this team. I don't know how you feel about it, sure. Joe, but it just seems like not headed in the right direction when you can't win a series coming out of the All-Star break.
When the Acuña injury happened, I really thought that was the beginning of, I don't know if the beginning of the end, maybe like the end of the beginning. I don't know. It was something. It didn't seem like it was going to go well from there, but you got to give the team credit for the way that they've continued to play and, you know, scrap out some of these wins. And, you know, they probably should have more wins. Honestly, their record should be better. Than it is since that injury. They had a couple blown saves against, bullpen or blew some leads against, who was the Rays in that series right after the All-Star break. They could have won those games. Should have swept that series, really. So it's really impressive what they've done. And just to add to your point, what you were talking about with Kyle Muller, the confidence is great to see. I totally agree with you. There's also something else that he has, which is like a know-how or just like a way that he's able to come up to this level and able to grind it out when it's not even going great for him. He talked about that in his last start. He only went four innings, but he had three walks. But he only gave up one run. And he said after that game, he was like, you know what? It's nice to know that I was able to still give the team a chance to win, even though I only went four innings. It's not like I blew it out there on a day when I didn't have my best stuff. Or honestly, he said, well, when I was bad, he's like, it was great to know that I gave this team a chance to win still, even when I was not good at all. So love hearing that from a guy. And then to come back after that, to come back, tonight and put up the start that he did. So impressive. Really kind of a mature kid, we say they're kids, but they really are kind of mature. And Ian Anderson's the same way. I mean, he's what, 23 or something, and he does not look it or sound it or pitch like it. He's a much more mature player than that. So really, really impressive. And hopefully Ian can come back and contribute to the season once he recovers from his injury. But good sign so far. Obviously these games are ones that the Braves have to win. I mean, we're going to talk about it here in a little bit, but they got to win four of these five games against the Mets. They got to win them. So that's the way to start it. And, the Mets have a bullpen game coming up here in game two. So you got a chance, but obviously you need to get something out of Bryce Wilson tonight.
Well, before we go to the future, let's kind of revisit where we were since we recorded last. We were on last Monday when the game against the Padres was postponed. Very strange series in that you get a postponed game on Monday, so that one is going to be a part of a doubleheader on Wednesday. Tuesday, a game that I was going to was one that really up until like right before game time, I did not think that game was going to get played.
Yeah.
Or if it was, I was thinking this is going to get heavily, heavily postponed. Yet they're able to play that, and that was the start of what we've seen is a very, very successful Touki Toussaint, who, Joe, I want to get your thoughts on Touki. Mine are, did not expect this at all.
Yeah.
Was like, Mike, when you talk about expectations on the floor from what we've seen out of him, it was one of those, he seemed like he was heading in the trajectory of a Kyle Wright, of a Sean Newcomb, of a really, really, highly touted prospect that once we saw him out on the field, it was like, just really doesn't seem to have it. Doesn't seem to have that confidence. Doesn't seem to have that ability to throw strikes. And yet seeing Touki last Tuesday was like the start of, whoa, do we have something here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was great to see. And I'm with you. I was kind of skeptical as to like how his career is going to turn out. And, obviously there's still questions. It's been two starts since he's come back, sure. But really, he was good in his couple of rehab starts as well. And it's just so impressive. He's way more efficient than he's been in the past, and that is down to throwing more strikes. And it's really incredible just to see the stuff and the fact that if he just throws it for strikes, he can get out pretty much any hitter in this league, which has to be a huge confidence booster for him to see himself throw those strikes and get those guys out. Because I imagine that's got to be the mental block that you have as a pitcher, is you're trying to be fine around the edges because you don't have full confidence that your stuff is that good. But I mean, we knew it was good stuff. Like we've seen it at times in spring training. We've seen it at times when he's been up in the major leagues. He had a one really, really good start for the Braves last year in the pandemic season. But to see him come out and do what he did, I mean, that was as good a stuff as I've ever seen. And for a guy who relies on spinning the ball so much as he does, because he's got that devastating curveball, again, with the sticky stuff,
yeah,
you never know how that's going to affect anybody. So you kind of have to come in with a new slate with all these pitchers who are adjusting to it. And his stuff looked as dominant as I've ever seen it. Honestly, these last two starts have been incredible from Touki Toussaint. And so it's interesting. It presents an interesting situation for the Braves here, because there's been so much talk about about what the Braves are going to do at the trade deadline. Are they going to trade prospects to add a bat? Are they going to trade away pieces? But if you are going to trade away prospects to add, Touki probably would have been kind of in that group of players that you would maybe think you would be willing to part with, along with Kyle Wright, any number of these kind of young starting pitchers, Bryce Wilson, any of these guys, I'm sure are trade chips. And if you're going to bring in somebody that's good. You have to give away value. So you have to be okay with trading away some of these guys. And so I wonder if these last two starts that he's made have kind of made the Braves go like, whoa, whoa, whoa. he's going to be sticking around for a little bit because if he keeps on pitching like this, I mean, that totally changes the dynamic of this Braves pitching staff, not just this year, but especially I'm thinking going into next season when you get potentially Mike Soroka back on top of Max Fried, Ian Anderson, him, Kyle Muller maybe, or somebody, you know, whoever it might be. You're probably going to use more than five pitchers. Of course you are during the course of the season, but I wonder if that has changed any minds with what he's done lately because it's been just incredible to watch.
Well, I have to think it makes Alex Anthopoulos' job much, much more difficult because I feel like, at least in my eyes, when I saw Tukey getting the start last week, it was one of those, okay, we know where this is headed, you know, got to get the guy out in front of people because like
shop window. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you had said about, I had heard rumblings. I'd heard with Gwinnett. I have not been paying attention to what has been going down in Gwinnett, but I had heard about Tukey. I'd heard about Drew Waters. And kind of thinking to myself, oh, okay, these are a couple of guys we might be seeing pretty soon as we get close to the trade deadline as, you know, hey, look over here, look what we've got, you know, come get these guys. But, you know, I mean, you get like a decent performance out of a guy like that. And you're like, okay, this is some trade bait kind of deal. You get a guy who almost what it was like 6 2/3 and then 7 innings in his next start. Like he's not just performing well, like he's going long into games, saving bullpens, and that has to make me think that Brian Snicker's over there at Alex Anthopoulos's door like, you know, hey, we got a guy that can go seven right now.
Right. Yeah.
No. We're not trading that away.
It is
mind-blowing from where I feel like we were with Tukey a year ago heading into this season, even where he's headed, you know, he goes to the disabled list right before the season starts. And we're kind of like, what's going on with that? All right, here we go again. All right. You know, not going to get anything out of this. And so it's exciting. Like to have Tukey doing what he's doing, to have Kyle today doing what he's doing, even with there is like so much chaos around the rest of the staff, as far as injuries go, that it's nice to get this right now.
Something else that's encouraging to me about Tukey, and maybe this is just like too inside baseball or whatever, but I remember thinking last year when he had one of these, this good start that I just recalled earlier, I vividly remember after the game, reporters asking questions about, you know, where'd this come from? How, you know, what were you doing? Did you feel good when you came in? You know, like, how'd you do this? And he was just kind of like, I threw the ball good today, you know, and it was kind of like, okay, like that's fine, whatever. But I really noticed it when he came back and he's been speaking to reporters since after these last two starts, especially, and he's been talking much more specifically about like, you know, changes that he's made to his delivery. He talks about being more linear, which I think is interesting. Instead of being, he talked about before he was like rotational. So he felt like he was spinning to try to generate that power. But by being that rotational, it was he was having a lot of variance in the velocity of his pitches as to where now he's trying to drive more right towards the plate. And it's generating a lot more consistency for him. And I mean, clearly it's generating just better stuff, as good a stuff as we've seen from him in all of his pitches, not just his fastball, but his curveball seems to be as effective as it's ever been. So maybe that's like that magic thing that has to happen for a player in his career where you like you kind of find something that works for you. And all of a sudden it kind of makes all your talent kind of snap into place and makes you effective. So I'm just very excited about Tukey.
Yeah. Well, I love when a guy explains little things like that.
Yeah.
Like if there's ever, and trust me, like I have nothing against Max Fried, but when he gets in front of a microphone and people ask him questions, it tends to go very short. Cause it's like, well, what'd you think about that?
Yeah, wasn't my best stuff.
Yeah, like he's very soft-spoken, very direct answers. If you try to get too nuanced with him, he probably will get frustrated at you and will give you will kind of cut it off and give you a very short answer. So hearing Tukey kind of go deep into, it's the reason why I love Charlie Morton, because every time he talks, he's going to talk for 30 minutes, but he'll give you some really good content along the way of, of explaining like what is going on in his mind of how he's changing things. And it seems like if that is a change, if he's going more linear, if that is like it's helping, it's working, because he's looking really good right now. And at a time when, once again, like these are Tukey was getting starts that I wasn't expecting much out of him. Also, you know, when he was helping his team win. Now, they didn't win the second one on Sunday, but not because of him. And so it's one of those, like, to see that is exciting. Like, it's one of those, yeah. Okay, if this team isn't going anywhere, if this team isn't making any big moves at the trade deadline, which we don't know yet, at least there is something to, like, hang your hat on for the rest of the season versus all the doom and gloom that it's felt like the last few weeks or so.
And the Braves have needed it. You know, it's like they need this pitching right now. It's the thing that's been carrying them for the better part of like 6 weeks. You know, it's like they've needed to find an identity as a team for a long time now. It's something they've kind of been searching for all year. And, you know, they've been able to get this really, really great starting pitching here in these last 6 weeks out of guys, honestly, that were either got off to rough starts or kind of were feeling like, you know, I'm thinking of like guys like Drew Smyly, you know, these starts from Tukey, Kyle Muller. They've been able to get some of these starts. Charlie Morton, obviously, his stuff has come around. Max Fried is rounding into form, you know, a little bit better than he was earlier this season. So that's kind of the identity of this team now. It's like they're riding their starting pitching. And, you know, it's working out pretty well for them. I'm still skeptical as to like how long this is, how long it can last, how sustainable it is to win games 2-0, 1-0, you know, but hey, you got to win games any way you can. Right. And if that's the strength of your team, that's just how you're going to end up winning games. I mean, then that's the fact of the situation right now.
Well, Joe, they're not just winning 2-0 games. They're also winning some 15-3.
It annoys me so much.
Very bizarre scenario in that 15-3 game against the Phillies, which, and the reason why I bring it up is because we're talking about your starting pitching and everything kind of coming together. And then this weird scenario with Drew Smyly with his knee, yeah, where he leaves after four innings and thinking like, I had come to a point with Drew, which thankfully it seems like everything that, at least that I've heard, is that this is not some type of injury that's going to take him out some long amount of time. It was just something they wanted to nip in the bud at the time. But like, I've had to come around and eat crow and say I was wrong about Drew Smyly. Like I it felt like, you know, towards the beginning of this season, as we were coming in, like it seemed like things were playing out exactly how I had somewhat prophesied that I had seen out of Drew Smyly. I just didn't expect him to be much of anything. And then this turnaround has been so strange, and especially to get it in a game where he leaves with an injury, but the Braves have what, 5 home runs in that game? Like it's like what?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And it, like I said earlier, or just a second ago, it's annoying because it's like,
yeah, how, oh yeah,
it's like you can almost see it coming. And I think what they score the next game, the next day, they have 1 run.
Yeah, they scored 1. That was the Tukey start.
That's
on
right.
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Where they lost 2-1.
Right. Yeah. So it's just like, and you could see it coming. It's like, you know, when they're scoring that many runs, it's like they're not going to get any the next day for whatever reason. So it's like the classic, oh, you're wasting all your runs today. But it like seriously feels like that. The Braves, really, when you see them struggle so much offensively and then they just bust out these random games. They had how many did they score earlier this year? They had 220 run games.
They had a 20 run game against the Marlins.
It was like record setting. They've like scored, they've had like 3 20 run plus games in the last 6 months or something like that, if you go back to last season. Right. So pretty wild. But I mean, what are you feeling about this trade deadline coming up? Like what, let me phrase it like this. Let's say the Braves do win 4 out of 5 here against the Mets. And that would cut the lead to what, like they'd probably be 2 games back, I think, if they win 4 out of 5, something like that. So let's say you win 4 out of 5 and you're 2 or 3 games back. You're a buyer. Like, what are you buying? What should be the Braves' goal here in this trade deadline?
Honestly, I think the Braves could do something sneaky.
Regardless
of how, you know, if whether they win 4 out of 5 or not, like no matter what happens, I think the Braves will be buyers, and that like they need an outfielder. They need another outfielder. And the one that, and this is not an original idea whatsoever. This was actually, I can't remember who I can credit it to. But I was reading earlier this week, the whole deal with Byron Buxton with the Minnesota Twins, mm-hmm. and them not reaching a contract extension, but he still got another year on his current deal, where I was like, okay, there we go. Cause they're at a strange point where, I mean, sure, we'd love for them to go get some bullpen arms to save the season. But if you go get an outfielder, you get to then claim you are a buyer at the deadline, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Or that you're not giving up on the season if they don't, you know, if they go on to not win this next series or not win 4 out of 5, and kind of play the fence there versus, I mean, of course, it'd be great if they went and made a big splash and, you know, traded some prospects and got some bullpen help along with getting another bat. I just don't think it's going to happen. And so that's my, like, the thing that I keep kind of convincing myself in my head is, okay, you go get a guy like Byron Buxton, and it makes you seem like, ooh, you did something,
right?
Even though it's like, well, you're going to have to make a move like this at some point.
Yeah.
Whether it was now or in the off season. So you're kind of two birds, one stone deal.
It doesn't, doing something like that, it, while it may be, you know, arguable about how much it actually changes the course of your season, it signals to people a certain thing, which is that you're not giving up, you know, and that, you know, it's going to help drive people come into the ballpark. Of course, who knows how many people are going to come if they were to fall way out of contention. But I think that is important for this team to, like, feel, you know, to have people continue to be engaged and to continue to come. I think it would be a disaster for them to just do a complete, like, sell off if they do fall out of it, for them to just, like, sell off pieces. I just don't think that would be good from an optics perspective, especially with everything that has kind of gone wrong this season that fans have been so crushed by, whether it's the Acuna injury or the Ozuna situation or whatever. You know, it's just like there's been one thing after another, and for them to just, like, then sell off Charlie Morton and, like, a bunch of pieces, like, whoever it may be, that would feel like a blow. So I agree. I still think that they could sell. I think that they could sell off. I think they could sell and buy at the same time. Like, yeah. I think that they could do that and kind of, to your point, get themselves situated for next year while also kind of not making it seem to fans like they're just totally tanking and like putting all the chips into next year. I think by bringing in a player, especially like a bat, you know, I think that that's exciting for fans, and that would, you know, help generate some interest and just kind of keep people interested and hopeful about this team. But I could see them, you know, Charlie Morton's going to be so valuable at this trade deadline because of how effective he is right now. I'm just kind of curious as to, like, what would theoretically he be able to bring in for the Braves. And I also think that this Braves team could, you know, like, what if a team wants Will Smith? Like, if a team thinks Will Smith would be added to their bullpen, I think the Braves would probably tend to be like, okay, we'll part with that contract. You know, like, that's a deal that, it's not like Will Smith has been bad, but he's been, you know, clearly he's had his warts, not just this season, but last season. The home run ball has really plagued him. So, and I think he's on $13 million a year, something like that. So I could see the Braves, you know, just being like, okay, let's, this will be nice for us to get out of this. We can, you know, sign up some new relievers in the offseason and fix the bullpen then. So, it's certainly going to be interesting because this Braves team is in such a gray area in terms of, like, buyer seller, because while things have gone wrong this season and you are on the brink of potentially falling out of it, you're still in this championship window, right? Like, over the course of next year and the year to follow and the year to follow, you still have players that are going to make your team good enough to be a World Series contender. So it's just really weird that you have this one random year where just everybody's gotten hurt and everything has gone wrong. That's kind of derailed you. And honestly, it's a credit to this team that they are still in it despite everything that's happened, because I don't think any other team, maybe not any other team, but it requires a heck of a team to kind of keep yourself as competitive as the Braves have been at this point in the season with what's happened.
Especially with, it's, you know, that's one of those Braves fans will typically be a little more kind because there are guys that are, you know, they're playing for the Braves. but especially with some of the names that are going out there on a daily basis playing for this team, the fact that there are only three, technically there are only three outfielders on this roster currently. If you also add in Arcia, there's four, but it's still
pour one out for Ender.
that's one of those.
I wanted to talk about Ender.
I know. I wanted to bring him up because as much as Braves fans will probably be like, oh, you know, good riddance kind of deal to see him leave because things sputtered and really kind of fell apart towards this, towards this end of his career with the Braves. I mean, Ender provided a lot of quality things in the past. And even at this time, like, I thought it said so much that you only have three outfielders and that, and yet you were willing to be like,
still no, stay.
Nah. And, you know, and we had talked about, like, why did Ender make this team? Well, because of his contract. His contract didn't go away.
Yeah.
Like they literally, like, this is, they had reached the point of the injuries had become. And I think the injuries are what made his designation happen, being that they just couldn't put up with the, all right, you're not playing well and you're constantly hurt all the time. No, we need guys who are healthy. We'll figure it out some other way. But it is, it's sad to see him go.
It is. There was a rumor that the Brewers were going to pick him up, but it looks like that is a false rumor that was started. God knows how that happens. But yeah, I mean, I think it was pretty clear around like 2019. I think that was, to me, where it became clear that, like, his defense especially was not the same, that he wasn't really the same athlete, it felt like to me. And I know he was dealing with some minor injuries. And I also, it's kind of funny because I have this like very vivid picture in my mind from when we were down there at spring training in 2019. I was down there with Andy Bunker and Brian Jordan, and we were walking somewhere, and we were walking right by the batting cages, and Ender was in there. And this is just very dumb, but like, I remember him looking like exasperated and like almost like frightened, like scared. That's not even the right way to, I don't know. Trying to think of like the word that like was the look on his face, but it was almost like, this is not going well.
Yeah.
like he was like really struggling. And then he would go on to, you know, kind of have some of the worst years of his career from at bat as well. So it's tough. It was tough to see the decline because he's such a nice guy.
He was
a fan favorite, you know, for a while.
I think tough. That, yeah, that's what always, like, you know, back when it was you, me, and Willie P, we were doing the show, you guys would give me such a hard time for how much that I loved Ender Inciarte, but it was really like, he was a guy in the locker room when I was first introduced to the Braves locker room and had that access, just was always very welcoming, very friendly, mm-hmm. and you get attached to those sorts of things. And so that's what I think I tweeted out this week when they designated Ender for assignment, that I was like, wow, I have two Scherzies and one jersey now that have just become vintage after this. And it was because, like, he was always a guy that I like to root for no matter what the product was on the field. It's just unfortunate that the product on the field became so bad,
yeah.
that they had to, well, I guess they didn't have to, but they decided that this was in their best interest to make this move.
There was just no use for him.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds so harsh to say it like that, but like, it's one thing if the bat goes away, it's one thing if like you're still a really good defender or you're still really athletic or, you know, even if you can just run the bases or something, but like all of that had gone. And really, again, it's not to his fault necessarily. Like, he had injuries that really slowed him down. You know, he had those hamstrings that kept popping up. Popping, probably not the best word to use when talking about his hamstring there, but
anyway,
it's just unfortunate to see how it kind of unraveled. I think it started around 2019. It was just kind of you could never kind of get back on track after that fully to the player that he was.
Since we are on a bit of a negative note talking about, so I want to slip this in because I want to go in a more positive route after this. I want to ask you, though, about someone and ask how long is he sticking around this team and if his worth is in what happens in the clubhouse, not on the field. Pablo Sandoval's hitting 183 now. Yeah. And every time he steps up to the plate, Chip Carey gives some version of, well, yeah, looked great in April. And we're just now we're waiting for it. You know, we're waiting for that to come back around and him get back, you know, getting back to the hitter that he was earlier in the season and that he proved to be last year for the Braves. And I keep going, I love panda hugs. I love every bit of the charisma that he brings to this clubhouse, but he's not doing his job as a pinch hitter anymore. And so trade deadline move, is that something that Alex Anthopoulos, not trading him, but bringing in an actual pinch hitter, or, you know, someone who's going to be better at that? Or do you just kind of leave it alone because of the intangibles that he brings?
I don't know what you do about this situation. I was listening to the Talking Chop podcast and they were talking about, like, can you just like throw him on the DL, like throw him on like the 60 day
yeah,
so he can stick around the team, but you can open up the roster spot. I mean, it's really bad. If you look at his last 47 plate appearances, which takes you back to a May 11th, he's hitting 103 and he has a 358 OPS. So, and again, it's tough. Like, it's tough because he's a pinch hitter. So it's not like these at bats are coming in, you know, good chunks where he can kind of get himself in a rhythm. He hasn't had a non pinch hit at bat since looks like May 26th. So, well,
but Joe, it's because nobody's going to want to see him in the field.
I know. It kind of goes the same way with Ender, where it's like, if you can't do that one thing that was kind of like your bread and butter, that you know, if for Ender it was his fielding, for Pablo it's been, you know, putting the bat on the ball. If you can't do that,
not really good.
The hugs
anything.
Are great. Yeah. You know, we
that's
love
what
the
I'm
hugs,
saying.
But like,
that's what,
you know,
I think that's what's so difficult, is because like we saw, we saw the mix it up get ruined by everything that went down with Ozuna. Let's just be honest.
They had to start cooking something else.
Yeah, they had to do something else, move, transition.
Rebrand the team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but and it worked. Caught on. It was great. And then they've, you know, I guess as of the last few weeks, Heredia has kind of come with the sword slash. And, you know, even Stephen Vogt.
When, like, pirate sword.
Yeah, when he first joined, like, they were doing that. And so, honestly, it was... When I saw the Heredia thing, and the more that I thought about it, I was like, are they preparing for another rebrand? We're not going to have panda hugs around too much longer.
Because it's just like, laying the groundwork for the next team celebration.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of wonder, because it is getting to a point where, especially if the Braves are going to continue to play in these one-run, two-run games where you need a quality pinch hitter to come up late in the game, it's bad when Max Fried is a better pinch hitter than your actual pinch hitter. Like that's not good. And so, yeah, it was just, it was another reminder today of seeing Pablo get up there and, you know, not doing much with his opportunities. And just, that's why it made me, I was like, since we're talking about guys who, you know, have left and the possibility of guys leaving, I just wonder if you thought, is he a casualty that is soon approaching?
I think he could be, for sure. The one thing I will say, though, is that, you know, Brian Snicker actually values what the kind of thing that Pablo brings to the dugout, to the clubhouse. You know, like, that is something that Brian Snicker really does value. So while the value is not on the field whatsoever, and I'm sure a lot of the, you know, the hardcore analysts, baseball people, like Alex Anthopoulos and his staff, they would probably very much disagree with Brian Snicker on this. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see who kind of has ultimate authority. Maybe, you know, Brian Snicker, the numbers are bad enough where it's like, you know, even Snit might be like, you know what, you have a calf injury.
Yeah. Well, it's so hard because you're at a point where, like, I mean, he does. The intangibles matter. Like, they mean something for a team that's not winning games like they're expected to have a rah-rah guy in the clubhouse, a guy that when you do something on the field, like guys, Jock Peterson was traded to Atlanta.
He's loving it.
And was like one of the first things he talked about was the fact of he was excited to hit a home run so we could go get a pant hug. Like that, that matters. That means something. It just, it seems like, unfortunately, it's approached and has probably gone beyond the point of something's got to happen here. And, you know, does it wait until Travis d'Arnaud is healthy and then some sort of transition happens there? Does it happen before that? Also, the fact is Travis d'Arnaud closer to being healthy.
Yeah.
What is the latest kind of on what we know about him?
I mean, he's traveled with the team on this road trip. So that's a good sign. He's been swinging, you know, doing workouts on the trip. They wanted him to travel so that he's kind of used to it and, you know, can kind of get with the program pretty quickly. I'm not sure exactly what his rehab stint is going to look like, but it sounds like he's going to start participating in some actual baseball stuff later this week. He's been swinging with two hands, you know, all that. Everything's been going well. So knock on wood, but it sounds like he should be coming back relatively soon. I mean, I think they've just been saying August. That's kind of always been the timeline for him. But I tend to think it's going to be more early August, maybe a week into August or something like that, a couple weeks from today. Okay. That sounds like it could be feasible for me. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. And, you know, that'll be a big boost. If he can be anything like the guy that we saw last year, I mean, that'll be big. And he was hitting the ball pretty well, from what I recall, before he went out with the injury. So that'll be important. I'm kind of curious. I want to get pick your brain on one question real quick. This game is about to start too, so we'll have to wrap up.
Yeah.
Christian Pache, he's been hitting well in Gwinnett. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I just feel like every few nights I see a highlight of him hitting a double or a homer or something. So like if he's hitting the ball well, do you just call him? I would call him up soon. Like I would like have him up probably after the trade deadline once you kind of figure out what your roster situation looks like. But I don't know. I don't know what the plan is with him, because I know that they were kind of worried about him kind of being so out of his depth at the major league level at the plate that it was actually hurting his confidence, which I think is true. And so I'm just kind of curious as to when they might think about bringing him back up, because I definitely think it's got to be sometime this season, right?
I mean, honestly, I know that I know there's a need for outfield depth, which is obviously why I was talking about, you know, potential move at the trade deadline. He's one that, honestly, I'm not touching until, you know, September call-ups, you know, until
maybe September is when
expanded rosters and we start to get some of those younger guys coming up, then bring him back up. Because like my whole thing with him is it was a big part confidence, and then another part, it just seemed like he was not up to the speed of, you know, major league pitching. Clearly,
definitely.
Defensively had no issues, you know. It just like the bat was a big enough issue that if he's hitting well in Gwinnett, let's let that confidence continue to grow and wait. But honestly, on the flip side of that is my opinion. However, if we were to see him get called up, I wouldn't be necessarily surprised, and I wouldn't hate it, because it's just like, all right, cool. You want to see what you got. But he's one that I'm not touching until after the trade deadline.
Probably does depend on whether they actually bring in an outfielder, you know, because right now it's like you got Jock Peterson in right field. We'll assume for now that he's staying, that they're not going to like flip him again in the trade. So yeah,
better not.
I know. Yeah. So you got Jock and Guillermo Heredia, who's got, you know, center field locked down. So it's really just that left field spot. And I'm sure if Pache came up, he would play center and they would move Heredia. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. But I've just been thinking about him lately, because it seems like he's good to see him getting his confidence back and starting to hit well in Gwinnett. So
yeah,
hopefully that all goes well. This game is now starting.
All right. So we will wrap up. Obviously, Bryce Wilson getting the start tonight in game two against the Mets as they finish out this, what, four game? Or five games because of the doubleheader today, to make up for an earlier missed game. And then we are soon approaching the trade deadline. What, next Sunday?
It'll be 2 days after that they finish this series. So yeah, next Sunday,
Saturday night, Sunday.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's going to be another interesting time, as a lot has to happen before, before the season is really determined. Good to see Freddie Freeman hitting normally again out of the, you know, crazy 230s back into his normal statistics, and hopefully we'll see that continue. Thanks everybody for watching on Facebook Live. Please go download the podcast. We will podcast this and have it posted soon. Have a great rest of your Monday.